Hi, this is Gordon Deal. The award-winning Wall Street Journal This Morning starts right after this.
Your Buick certified service technicians would like you to think about something. And no, it has nothing to do with oil levels or brake pads or tire wear. They'd like you to think about the view from the window of the bed and breakfast you'll be visiting this weekend, or the crust on the beef Wellington you plan to make at your cooking class tomorrow. As the experts in Buick maintenance, they'd like you to think about the lyrics of the new song you just discovered on your drive to work, or the sunset you plan to enjoy on the ride home. The Buick Certified Service Experts would like you to think about anything but the maintenance of your Buick. That's their job. If you don't know worry-free service, you don't know Buick Certified Service. And now, experience it for yourself. Get a 5-quart Dexo synthetic blend oil change, 4-tire rotation, and 27-point inspection for $39.95 or less. Excludes full synthetic oil, tire balancing tax, and more than 5 quarts of oil extra. Most V6 and V8 engines and other select vehicles require more than 5 quarts of oil. Visit BuickCertifiedService.com for details and to find a participating dealer.
Live from the newsroom of the Wall Street Journal, this is the Wall Street Journal This Morning, America's first news with Gordon Deal.
The latest Ebola concern. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Mike Gavin, who's in for Gina Cervetti. Glad you're with us on this Thursday, August 7, and here's what's up this hour.
The death toll from the Ebola outbreak is approaching 1,000. One of the big concerns now, frontline doctors and nurses who are dying while treating victims.
Nearly 90% of Americans who don't purchase health insurance will avoid penalties. How is this possible? Hear the surprising range of exemptions.
Israel and Hamas are now in day 3 of a 72-hour ceasefire in Gaza. Mediators are working frantically on an extension.
And the gender divide over the economy that's expected to shape the upcoming midterm elections.
It seems that women are generally more pessimistic about the state of the economy and a little bit more in sync with some of the Democratic proposals for dealing with the economy, like increasing the minimum wage. Men seem to have a more optimistic view.
Wall Street Journal reporter Janet Hook on how men and women see Democrats and Republicans ahead of November. She's here in about 20 minutes. Well, As Ukraine moves on in its war against pro-Russia separatists in the eastern part of the country, it is also fighting another emerging challenge across the country. War fatigue is creeping in. Wall Street Journal reporter Anton Troyanovsky has been in the capital city of Kiev and joins us now on the T-Mobile hotline. Anton, what have you found?
What we had over the winter in Kiev was this exuberant, really large-scale street protest that drove pro-Russian President Viktor Yanukovych from power. Since then, reality has set in a little bit, and it's been kind of replaced by fatigue now. It's been driven by the war in eastern Ukraine against pro-Russian separatists that keeps dragging on and keeps taking civilian lives as well as those of Ukrainian soldiers. And it's being driven by an economy that was already fragile when the revolution in the winter happened and is now really having major problems in large part because of the fighting in the east.
So on the streets of Kiev, things are like what?
Well, the way that many locals described it to me is that we're stressed. One person said we're going to need a ton of new psychotherapists and psychologists, because as you said, it's gone from this exuberant mood to this mood of, wow, we have a lot of problems right now. So some people are, even those who supported the pro-Western revolution in the winter, are now sort of having second thoughts, you know, are asking, was it really worth it in terms of the loss of lives that we're seeing now? For now, also many Ukrainians, you know, do remain pretty patriotic and want to support this war and want to kind of move on. But it's going to be tough.
So what's the government doing here to try to keep the people's spirits up? Because didn't I kind of read through the lines of your story? They're not releasing things like the number of dead in terms of soldiers and civilians.
Yeah, that's a good point. The government does a twice daily briefing where it updates journalists on the military campaign against the separatists in the East. And one thing that they don't mention, unless they're specifically asked, is how many Ukrainian soldiers died. Yesterday, it was 18 Ukrainian soldiers that died, which people only found out about because someone asked. And that shows that, the government is really doing its best, you know, to avoid too much of this negative war-related news to seep out there. But the fact is that it is seeping out there because more and more people are having their husbands, co-workers, sons, etc., being called up to join the war effort. You know, almost everyone I talked to there seemed to have some connection or, you know, some story to tell. Oh, there was a funeral in my apartment block 2 weeks ago for a fallen soldier's, or, you know, I know so-and-so whose godfather died in a mine blast in one of these eastern separatist-held cities. So it's even though the military campaign itself is actually happening in a pretty small part of eastern Ukraine right now, the fact that there's a war going on is being felt everywhere.
Thanks, Anton. Wall Street Journal reporter Anton Troyanovsky. It's 11 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal This Morning. This portion of the program is brought to you by Stamps.com. Computers are designed to make running a business easier, including your mailing and shipping. Just use Stamps.com to get 24-hour access to the post office right from your computer. No waiting in line, no hassles. Stamps.com makes mailing and shipping easy. Just use the computer and printer you already have to get official U.S. postage for any letter, any package. Then print the postage directly onto envelopes, labels, even plain paper, and hand it to your mail carrier. There's no guesswork. Stamps.com will send you a digital scale that automatically calculates the exact postage you need for any class of mail. You'll never have to go to the post office again. Right now, use the promo code WSJ for this special offer, a no-risk trial, plus a $110 bonus offer that includes a digital scale and up to $55 free postage. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in WSJ. That's Stamps.com. Enter WSJ. 13 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal This Morning. Coming up next, the latest concerns around Ebola.
As the owner of a delivery company, I have to be in constant contact with my drivers, the warehouse, and my customers. Between scheduling appointments, using GPS, and tracking orders on our smartphones and tablets, we were going way over our data limit every month. That's why I switched to T-Mobile's Simple Choice for Business Plan. My company gets all the data we need without worrying about unpredictable overage charges. Switch to T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/business.
Limited time only, subject to change.
Thanks for being with us. Good Thursday morning. The number of people to have died in the worst Ebola outbreak in history has risen to at least 932. Many of the victims, overworked hospital staff. Meanwhile, President Obama told reporters at the U.S.-Africa Leaders Summit in Washington yesterday that the U.S. is working with Africa to combat Ebola.
It is important to remind ourselves this is not an airborne disease. This is one that can be controlled and contained very effectively if we use the right protocols.
He added that it was too soon to know whether an experimental U.S. treatment for the virus should be more widely distributed. Medical workers in West Africa are poorly equipped, low paid, and insufficiently prepared. In Liberia, 15% of those who have died from the virus were doctors or nurses who contracted it at work. In Sierra Leone, where the disease has killed at least 572 people, 50 of those were hospital workers. As health workers die, their surviving colleagues have taken on even longer shifts, working in deteriorating conditions without overtime or hazard pay. Russian President Vladimir Putin is firing back at Western sanctions. Yesterday, he ordered bans on imports of food and other products from the nations that impose the restrictions. The Wall Street Journal This Morning's Patrice Sikora says it's the latest sign of Kremlin defiance regarding separatist fighting in Ukraine.
Mr. Putin ordered partial or complete bans lasting 1 year on a range of food and farm products, as well as raw materials, from countries that impose sanctions, including the U.S., the European Union, Japan, and Australia. A final list of banned products is expected in coming days. One Russian official tells the Journal they would cover some fruits, vegetables, dairy products, and cheese, as well as liquor, meat, and poultry. Economists and industry observers say the food limits could be painful in some sectors, but not a major issue for Europe or the U.S. Gordon?
Thanks, Patrice. President Obama said yesterday, by the way, that an expanding package of U.S. and international sanctions is squeezing Russia's economy, but said he doesn't know if it'll prevent a new Russian military incursion into Ukraine and spur negotiations. Well, we've entered the final day of a three-day ceasefire between Israel and Hamas in Gaza. Mediators are working to extend the truce. Israel has said it's ready to agree to an extension of the existing ceasefire. Separately, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu held a news conference yesterday showing how Hamas uses civilians as human shields during fighting.
Hamas must be held accountable for the tragic loss of life. It must be ostracized from the family of nations for its callous abuse of civilians.
Meanwhile, President Obama appears increasingly frustrated with his inability to tamp down the notion that American influence has waned on his watch. Critics and foreign policy experts say it isn't just his style, but his policy prescriptions that have emboldened players such as Mr. Netanyahu to challenge U.S. authority. Mr. Netanyahu pushed back at those not taking a strong stand against Hamas.
Can a terrorist organization fire thousands of rockets at the cities of a democracy? Can a terrorist organization embed itself in civilian areas? Can it dig terror tunnels from civilian areas? Can it do so with impunity?
John Alterman, director of the Middle East program at the Center for Strategic and International Studies, said Mr. Obama's middle-of-the-road approach has left both sides feeling he was unsympathetic to their cause. Meanwhile, White House officials say Mr. Obama's foreign policy doctrine is designed to set the U.S. on a course to lead over the long term, meaning that there are not immediate results that should be expected. It's 20 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Mike Gavin is here. He's got America's first news.
Gordon, the lawyer for freed U.S. prisoner of war Bo Bergdahl, says that Mr. Bergdahl answered all questions put to him yesterday by the U.S. Army general investigating the circumstances leading to his capture by the Taliban. You'll remember that the prisoner swap triggered an outcry from critics of the Obama administration amid accusations by some members of Bergdahl's army unit that he had deserted before being captured by the Taliban. Talk of cracking down on U.S. corporations that move offshore to save on taxes is making some other companies nervous, notably foreign-owned companies, which are warning of cuts to their U.S. employment or investment if they're caught in the crosshairs. At a news conference, President Obama said his administration would work as quickly as possible to curb moves by some U.S. firms to incorporate overseas in a way that allows them to avoid U.S. taxes, questioning the patriotism of such companies and blasting a herd mentality. Wall Street Journal reporter John McKinnon says that if history is any indication, the lobbying efforts of these foreign firms could pay off.
Back in 2002, in 2003, Republicans were advancing this as a way to curb inversions. Ultimately, I think it's fair to say that the foreign firms were pretty successful in reducing the scope of what Congress did.
In Chicago, 40 Illinois state troopers will join city efforts to reduce violence after several attention-grabbing incidents this summer, including more than four dozen shootings during the July 4th weekend. Mayor Rahm Emanuel and Illinois Governor Pat Quinn said that the effort is set to last 30 days, at which point it will be evaluated for a possible extension. After 8 out of 10 down days, stocks edged slightly higher yesterday as investors look for signs that the market can stabilize after its recent swoon. Jim Meyer of Tower Bridge Advisors in suburban Philadelphia says that we may be seeing a settling of some nerves.
We don't know whether this is a prelude to more nervousness or whether this is part of a bottoming process from the declines of the last week or so.
And Gordon, some good news for fans of the show Arrested Development. Next, Netflix says that the comedy's fifth season, its second on Netflix, is a go. It's just a matter of when.
Very good. I know that has an excellent reputation, but it's not one I've watched.
Yeah,
it's not on my list.
I watched it originally when it was on Fox, and then I tried my best to watch it when it was on Netflix.
Yeah.
But I think I echoed a lot of the sentiments of a lot of fans, was that it was kind of hard to watch the way they had it on Netflix.
Oh.
The sort of format of the show and the sort of the style of the filming of the show was very hard to keep up. It was very hard to sort of keep all the storylines straight.
Mm.
But what I've heard is that they might sort of change things around, go back to sort of more the way they did it on Fox this time around. It might be a little easier to digest this time around. I'm hoping. Fingers crossed.
Very good. By the way, I want to point out that Mike, who's filling in for Gina today, has now done five positions on this program. Gina's job, my job, his regular job is producer of the show, and he's also been our technician slash board operator guy, as well as doing in-show reporting. So we got an email from the boss who is listening this morning who says Mike is a five-tool player. That, did he mean you're a tool, or is it just that you're kind of multi-talented? I'm not sure how to read into that.
If the boss meant that, then I might have to go talk to HR about that one. Just tell me where to sit.
24 minutes after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning.
If you don't have a will, the court may dictate what happens to your property and minor children. Don't let that happen. It's National Make-A-Will Month, so call or visit LegalZoom today for special pricing on wills and living trusts. LegalZoom has been helping people protect their families for over 13 years. They make it painless to get the legal help you need. Don't forget to enter WSJ in the referral box at checkout to save more. LegalZoom provides legal help through independent attorneys and self-help, but they're not a law firm. Protect your family and future today at LegalZoom.com.
Wix.com lets you easily create a beautiful professional website for free. With hundreds of stunning templates, cool features, and popular apps, you can get your business online today. Start now at Wix.com. That's Wix.com.
Men and women differ in their views of the economy and economic opportunity, and that gap in their outlook could shape the midterm elections. Which gender supports Democrats? Who supports Republicans? Here's Wall Street Journal reporter Janet Hook. Janet, what's trending?
It seems that women are generally more pessimistic about the state of the economy and a little bit more in sync with some of the Democratic proposals for dealing with the economy, like increasing the minimum wage. Men seem to have a more optimistic view. One of our questions was, is the United States still in a recession? And women, a majority of women said they believed that we were still in a recession, but a majority of men said we weren't.
Any other issues, Janet, that are split among gender lines?
Right. We asked a really important question. We asked people, which view of America seems closer to your own? Do you believe that it's the kind of place where anyone can succeed if they work really hard? Or alternatively, do you feel like the widening gap between the rich and other income groups, the widening gap of wealth undermines equal opportunity? And that kind of goes to the core of the kind of American dream of working hard can give you opportunity. And women were much more likely to see the economic opportunity being threatened by income inequality. 61% of women agreed with that point of view, compared to men, and more than half of them said they thought that it was still true that anybody can succeed. So it really spoke to a big difference of perspective about a kind of fundamental fairness in the economy.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Janet Hook in Washington.
Well, you can't take two poll findings and say cause and effect, but in this same poll we found a similar striking gap between what men and women were hoping for out of the midterm elections. When they were asked which party they wanted to control Congress after the midterm elections, 52% of men said they wanted a Republican-controlled Congress, and 51% of women said they wanted a Democratic-controlled Congress. Overall, it was kind of a split. You know, when you combine the genders, it looked like a dead heat, but actually it's kind of a war between the sexes.
Thanks, Janet. Wall Street Journal reporter Janet Hook, who's based in Washington. 30 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Coming up next, the percentage of uninsured Americans who won't have to pay a penalty under Obamacare.
Wake up to the Wall Street Journal this morning, now on the WSJ radio app.
Thanks for being with us on this Thursday, August 7th. Gordon Deal with Mike Gavin, who's filling in for Gina Cervetti. Coming up this half hour, the death toll from Ebola keeps rising. President Putin pushes back in Russia. Hawaii is preparing for a double storm hit, working to extend the ceasefire in Hamas. And on a lighter note this half hour, the Round the World Flyers Club. We'll have that report in about 20 minutes. So when is a fine not a fine? Well, basically when you can get out of it or it's not enforced. Remember all the outrage at the IRS promising to whack you a tax time if you refuse to purchase health insurance? Well, how about this stat? Wall Street Journal reporter Stephanie Armour says nearly 90% of people going without coverage will not face a penalty under the Affordable Care Act. Stephanie, what's going on here?
There are a number of exemptions in the law. For example, if you are an immigrant who's not legally in the country, if you're incarcerated, if you're a member of certain religious sects such as Amish, Mennonites, those individuals don't have to pay the penalty. There are also penalties that the secretary came up with that deal with specific hardships. For example, you're facing eviction, you had death of loved one in the family, those kinds of things. There's also an exemption for other hardships obtaining insurance, which some Republicans say is so broad, it really weakens the mandate significantly.
So could you argue on your own behalf about your own personal hardship then and make your own case? Or does it have to fall under some guidelines?
There definitely are some guidelines, and the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, as well as the Internal Revenue Service, will review the exemptions on a case-by-case basis. But regardless, the number of people who will pay a penalty in 2016 is expected to be about 4 million, which is less than what was originally expected.
So it's an estimated 4 million who are eligible to purchase insurance who will not have it.
And who will pay the penalty. So only about 4 million people are expected to pay the penalty.
Okay. Out of how many now? Of how many uninsured expected?
About 30 million.
30 million?
Yep. So that's a large number that won't be paying. And the insurance industry is really concerned about this. They're saying that, you know, without a strong mandate to have insurance, they're worried that kind of older and sicker people will sign up for care and coverage, and that will cause premiums overall to rise. Whereas the government's saying, look, we're trying to give necessary flexibility here.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Stephanie Armour. I thought the original number of uninsured Americans was about 30 million.
I'm not sure what the original number was when the law was first passed, but this is based on an estimate from the Congressional Budget Office that they came out with in June that was saying that they expect about 30 million to be uninsured in 2016.
Oh my goodness, that strikes me as like we've hardly made a dent.
Yeah, I do think the number of uninsured, based on even a Gallup poll that came out, we are seeing a drop, especially in states that expanded Medicaid and built their own exchanges. So we are definitely seeing some movement, and that is something the Obama administration is touting as a sign of the law's success. But this still remains to be seen how many people will actually pay the penalty. And in addition, there's not much the IRS can do in terms of enforcement. They can't levy fines, levy a lien against your property. So a lot of the enforcement for the penalty is cut back as well.
Okay. I was going to say, so how much were folks banking that the penalty would produce some much-needed revenue to pay for the law?
Well, that's a good question. The penalty itself does not create a significant amount of revenue. The money that's collected by the IRS just goes into the general fund. I believe it's in the low billions. But the real stronger issue is that the mandate, the architects of the law really wanted a strong mandate. In fact, initially they had gone with a much higher idea back in 1990s. So the idea is that with these exemptions, will people use that to get out of paying the penalty, and will that mean fewer people get insurance?
So that 87% mm-hmm. estimated who won't pay a penalty even though they don't have insurance, is that a surprise number for, say, supporters or critics of the law?
You know, I think both the critics of the law are saying that it is a surprise and is a high number. Supporters of the law are saying that it's not necessarily anything to be concerned about, that the number of people getting insurance is still increasing, and that they've just provided some flexibility here.
Thanks, Stephanie. Wall Street Journal reporter Stephanie Armour. 21 minutes now before the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Don't forget to check out the new WSJ radio app, by the way. It brings the latest episodes of this program and all of your favorite Wall Street Journal radio shows right to your fingertips. You can download the WSJ radio app for iPhone and iPad right now at Apple's App Store. Guarantee it is your favorite price, which is the same as mine. Thanks for joining us on this Friday Eve. the U.S. Defense Intelligence Agency, which tracks foreign military movements, is more and more relying on open source information on social media sites to collect its evidence against bad international actors. Here's how it works from Wall Street Journal Pentagon correspondent Julian Barnes. Julian, what do we have here?
The intelligence agencies have been on a big push to increase the amount of open source material that they look at, particularly social media. The Defense Intelligence Agency, the military intelligence arm, is very interested in this as a way to get warnings about potential national security threats, but also to take the role of traditional military intelligence, monitor the movement of troops.
Where has this been helpful so far, Julian?
Well, you know, the most prominent situation has been Ukraine. The first indications that the U.S. intelligence community got that the separatists were responsible for the shootdown of the Malaysian Airlines flight was through social media. The same postings that the rest of the world learned about a little bit later in the day. But it was that information, backed by the satellites and backed by intercepts and other traditional forms of intelligence, that confirmed it to the U.S. But the U.S. on that very day unofficially pointed the finger to the separatist leaders. And that was in large part because of the information that they had gathered through their searching of social media networks.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal Pentagon correspondent Julian Barnes. In general, they don't have to take information obtained through social media with a grain of salt, though?
That's right. And, you know, there is a lot of worry within U.S. officials of that social media is particularly vulnerable to disinformation campaigns, deception campaigns, where a government might put misinformation into social media to try to distract from what they're doing. The U.S. military, through DARPA, the Advanced Research Projects Agency, is trying to develop some technologies that can kind of cull the sort of false posts from the real ones. But it's also the case that they'll take a tip from social media and see if it's backed up by other forms of intelligence. You never rely on just one form of intelligence. You kind of do a all-source intelligence, as the U.S. likes to say.
So what else is involved in beefing up the ability to monitor social media? It's more than having people read more Twitter accounts, right?
No, not at all. It's about developing tools that allow them to look at the postings, tweets, Facebook posts, or local regional social media networks in a specific space. So they can look at a single country or a few square kilometers and look at both the postings that are being made there and the connections between the people doing the postings. So you take the virtual world and you kind of impose it on a map of the real world, and that tells you something. That gives you some intelligence that you can act upon.
Thanks, Julian. Wall Street Journal Pentagon correspondent Julian Barnes. 15 minutes now before the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Coming up next, America's First News with Mike Gavin.
I'm Lex Friedman. I run my own business, so I know from experience hiring new employees can be tough. Posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites, and now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 50-plus job sites, including Craigslist, LinkedIn, and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll in to ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 200,000 businesses. And right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ. That's ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ. One more time, to try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ.
This portion of the program brought to you by Stamps.com. Computers are designed to make running a business easier, including your mailing and shipping. Just use Stamps.com to get 24-hour access to the post office right from your computer. No waiting in line, no hassles. Stamps.com makes mailing and shipping easy. Just use the computer and printer you already have to get official U.S. postage for any letter, any package. Then print the postage directly onto envelopes, labels, even plain paper, and hand it to your mail carrier. There's no guesswork. Stamps.com will send you a digital scale that automatically calculates the exact postage you need for any class of mail. You'll never have to go to the post office again. Right now, use the promo code WSJ for this special offer. A no-risk trial plus a $110 bonus offer that includes a digital scale and up to $55 free postage. Don't wait. Go to stamps.com. And before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in WSJ. That's stamps.com. Enter WSJ. It's 10 minutes now before the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Mike Gavin is back. He's got America's first news.
Gordon, the Centers for Disease Control has ramped up its response to the expanding Ebola outbreak, a move that frees up hundreds of employees and signals the agency sees the health emergency as a potentially long and serious one. The CDC took a similar move in 2005 in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina and again in 2009 during the bird flu threat. Russian President Vladimir Putin's promised retaliation against the U.S. and Europe for recent economic sanctions appears to be taking shape. Word today that Russia will ban fruit, vegetables, meat, fish, milk, and dairy imports from the United States, the European Union, Australia, Canada, and Norway. Hawaii residents not accustomed to battening down the hatches for hurricanes are taking precautions as not one but two big storms have set the islands in their crosshairs. Hurricane Isel, packing up to 90-mile-per-hour winds, is expected to make landfall tonight, while Hurricane Julio is on track for the weekend. Stock futures point to a slightly higher open this morning after a rare positive finish to the day yesterday. And Gordon, a Newfoundland Walmart confiscated a Canadian woman's inappropriate baby photos because they were against store policy. When Robin Walsh inquired what policy her photos violated, she claims that no one could give her an answer. Walsh brought her photos, which included two pictures of her 8-month-old daughter with an empty beer bottle and a snapshot of her daughter and 5-year-old son prepping for a bath, to Walmart to be printed for a scrapbook project. After she arrived to pick up the prints, a manager told her she would not be able to leave with those three inappropriate, in quotes, images.
Really? Wow.
Something like this happened to me on Facebook once. My new son was born in the early days when I was on Facebook about 6 years ago.
Right.
And, you know, I put a picture of him in the hospital up there, and I guess maybe all of his parts weren't covered.
Yeah.
And it was actually flagged for being inappropriate by Facebook.
Is that right?
So it didn't happen. It didn't happen at Walmart, but that does happen, especially online. That happens a lot.
Wow. Very good. By the way, your son will thank you probably years down the road. Because you're going to bust that out like on his prom night to embarrass him with his girlfriend.
That doesn't mean I still don't have it someplace and can't use it for future embarrassment.
Very good. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning.
I own a growing company and predictable monthly expenses make it easier to run my business. That's why I switched to the T-Mobile Simple Choice for Business plan. We get unlimited data with no overage charges, all in America's fastest 4G LTE network. Now it doesn't matter how much data my team needs every month. My bill stays the same. Switch to T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/business.
Limited time only, subject to change. Fastest 4G LTE based on download speeds. See T-Mobile.com for details.
Time now for a travel update, and it's brought to you by La Quinta. La Quinta Inns and Suites takes care of everything so you can take care of business. Book now at LQ.com or call 1-800-SLEEP-LQ. If you like to travel, here's something that might be on your bucket list. Flying around the world, literally a loop around the planet. Wall Street Journal airline writer Scott McCartney has a look at who's doing it and how it's done. Scott, what have you found?
People who have circumnavigated the globe. It used to be a big deal when it was difficult to do back many years ago. It's not so difficult to do if you got the money and the time now, but gaining in popularity, both sort of as an accomplishment for travelers, but also some practical reasons. And business travelers are figuring out that if they always fly with a tailwind, they can move around the globe faster. People are, you know, going halfway around the world and then figure they'll add a vacation trip to a business trip, and all of a sudden they're coming back in the same direction as they left, and they've circumnavigated.
Wow. So how does it work? Give an example of going from where to where and how it might, you actually might circumnavigate the planet.
One of the interesting aspects I thought was the notion of following the weather patterns, and so your flights will be faster. So if you're going to Asia from the United States, for example, you would go through Europe, maybe make a stop in Europe, maybe, you know, make a stop in the Middle East or somewhere like that, go to your destination in Asia, and then keep going. Come talk to a guy who goes to Thailand frequently, and he'll go through Frankfurt or Paris or London on the way out. And then from Thailand, he'll come back through Tokyo or South Korea to get a nonstop flight in New York. He wants to do it fast as he can, and so going around the globe is actually faster for him than coming back the same way he came.
Oh, wow.
For other people, it's just hopscotching around. And it's interesting, the global alliances, I mean, we don't have a single airline that can fly you around the world, but we do have these alliances of airlines, and you can buy a ticket through the alliance for multiple stops on multiple airlines, and they'll sell you a round-the-world ticket in coach or business or first.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal airline writer Scott McCartney about the members of the Round the World Club. So how long could this take if you wanted to do it as quickly as possible?
You know, it used to be when Singapore Airlines was flying direct nonstop flights from New York to Singapore. They don't do it anymore. But at one time they did, and the flight going from New York to Singapore would either go east or west depending on weather conditions. So it was technically possible to go around the globe in two flights, but they don't offer that anymore. So essentially you need, you know, at least two connections to do it.
Thanks, Scott. Wall Street Journal airline writer Scott McCartney, who's based in Dallas. That'll do it for this hour. For Mike Gavin, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to the Wall Street Journal This Morning.